Hello, and I want to welcome you. Thank you for joining us again today. I am Pastor Clayton Murphy, and this is Shine Light Baptist Church's Sunday message, and I'm excited to bring this to you today. You know, it's another opportunity for us to learn how to do ministry a different way, and that's exactly what we've been doing throughout this crisis that's affecting our world. As we're seeing Christianity kind of take on new responsibilities, kind of get reminded of what our goal is, and that is to get the gospel out into our world, not just to meet together. But church also is very precious to us. And I miss my church family, being able to get together with you, worship with you, hearing you pray, praying with you, hearing you sing. Those are things that I miss very much. And we will get back to that. Until then, we're continuing to learn new technologies and things. Churches and ministries, pastors are very busy during this time just because there are no public services. I want you to know the pastors I've talked to and what I've experienced myself is we're busier than we ever have been. And we're learning how to do new technologies and we're learning how to minister different ways. But I've also seen Christians just like you step up. And I'm very proud of my church. We're seeing you make phone calls and reach out through cards and ministry in many different ways, helping people. And I am so appreciative to see how God is using this time to help us grow. I want to talk about that in just a little while, but let's have a moment of prayer. Again, I miss being able to pray with you, hearing you pray as well. But at this time, I would ask you to just bow with me and join me in prayer. And don't just listen to me pray, but I invite you to call out to God at this time. And let's thank Him for this opportunity that we have to meet through technology and ask God's grace and mercy upon our country and upon our world. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as I pray today, I want to first of all thank you. Thank you for another day to live, another day to share the gospel, another day to enjoy my family. Lord, another day closer to a cure for this crisis, this disease that is affecting our world. And I do pray right now, God, that you would meet this need that we have throughout our world to bring to us a cure using the people you've trained and developed in this world with science. And Lord, develop a medicine or something. But God, if not, I pray you would miraculously take a cure to this disease. Provide our hospitals and their staff, Lord, with what is needed. So many medical beds, Lord, ventilators, things we're hearing about, the masks, just the protective gear. Lord, the protection that they need to keep safe. God, I pray that you would also, throughout all of this, continue to do the work you're doing to call up Christians to service and to bring us out of our comfort zone, putting us into a place where we'll call on you more often, more frequently, more faithfully, I guess we should say. And God, I want to tell you today that I love you. And I thank you that during this crisis, we have the ability to still communicate with each other through phones and social media, but also, Lord, through videos. We can get sermons into the hands and homes of people, and I want to thank you for that. So God, today, I pray that you be with the message that you've given me through the book of Psalms, and ask you that you would speak to myself and to those that will be watching this day. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right. As I've mentioned, here at Shining Light Baptist Church, we have been doing a study in Psalms chapter 119. And we started this before the crisis hit. And I guess like a lot of pastors do, we start to think, you know, is there something I need to change? Do I need to address something specifically that's facing our nation? But so many times in the ministry that I have experienced is when God has led me to study a book of the Bible, a passage, whatever it is that we're particularly studying, He will use something from that to address the issues that we're going through as well. And that's what God's doing in Psalms 119. You know, one of my goals with teaching Psalms 119 is that we would become students and teachers of this chapter. What I mean by that is I never just try to go through something. I try to learn as much as possible about it, and I try to teach it. And I want you to be a student of Psalms 119 so that you are able to teach this as well. In other words, I don't want you to just be able to sit in a classroom type setting, but I would like for you to be able to share information about Psalms 119 that's helpful to other people and to know as much about it as possible. So that's why we're studying this. Let's do a little bit of a review of Psalms 119. There's a few main points I would like for you to get about this particular chapter, First of all, you may remember this. It is the longest chapter, and it's the longest chapter in the book of Psalms, but it's also the longest chapter in the Bible. And so Psalms 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. It's the longest chapter in the book of Psalms. It's 176 verses. Now, just a couple chapters before this, I believe Psalms 117 is the shortest chapter in the Bible. So right here, you have these two things together. Something else about this chapter. We've been calling it an anthem to the law of God or an anthem to the word of God. Now, an anthem is sort of a praise. And so this author that's writing this chapter, that penned these words, he has done this as a praise to the word of God. And it's not just out of formality, because that's the next thing we learned in our review. And these are the main points I want you to take when you think about Psalms 119, is that it is the longest chapters, but it's the anthem to the law of God, and it's spoken out of the experiences of the author. And what I mean by this, the author is not giving you a repeat of what he learned in Sunday school or learned in church or what his family has just said all the time. This is the author taking the law of God, the commandments of God, and he's now praising them because of what he experienced with them in his life. And so there's something about the Bible that we will learn, and we learn it because we're taught that from the time we're little, or we're taught it from the time we're saved. But there's some more things that we learn about the Bible, how to love it, how to appreciate it, not because someone else told us, but because we experience it with God ourselves. And this author in this chapter has experienced some wonderful things with God. It's changed his life and it's changed his view about God's commandments. And that's what he shares with us, which means it's an anthem. It praises these things, and it may be why it's one of the longest in the Bible. So let's move on. What are some things that the psalmist learned through, get this word, affliction? So what the psalmist learns through affliction, what I'm saying here is that the psalmist is going to say in here, as I've learned something through the sorrow and the pain and the problems that I faced in my life. And he's experienced it. He recognized God was teaching him something through the crisis that he was going in. And that's what I want you to think about as we go through this book today and the verses we'll cover. What is God teaching you in the crisis that you're in right now? And the crisis doesn't necessarily have to mean the crisis our world is facing. You know, many of you are facing individual battles. We have people in our church right now that have family members that are, they're really sick. There's stresses. Some of you are being laid off of work. You know, the crisis could be personal. It could be a crisis that you're having in depression. It could be so many different things. Whatever that is, I want you to know something. The psalmist realized God was teaching him something in his crisis. So let's look at verse number 65. This is Psalms 119. We're going to start with verse 65. Again, if you see the word, the first words that start these sections, like teth, this entire chapter was written as an acrostic, which means that, well, let me break it down this way. Every eight verses is sort of a stanza or a section. And each of those sections start with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it was done that way for memorization. You know, they couldn't just pull it up on Google. They couldn't just have a Bible that they kept in their hand or their pocket. And a lot of history, a lot of scripture, everything had to be passed down through oral tradition and had to be memorized. And so in order to do that, sometimes they used these little tricks such as using an acrostic for it. And that's what they did here. So let's look now at what the psalmist said. He says, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word." Now, when you first read this, if we were to just open up your Bible and look in this verse, you would think, well, here's a guy that everything's going well in his life, and he's just so grateful for all the peace and how well everything's going in his life. And he's so glad. So he's just saying to God, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, And when he says, according to thy word, he's reminding himself and God that, God, you've promised that you would do good to me. And so the indication right here might would be that this particular person has got everything going well. Like I said, just, you know, life is good for him. But I want you to know, as we unfold this a little bit more, as we follow these verses down, you're going to find out that that's not really the case in this person's life. But what he's answering or stating here is, God, no matter what has happened to me, and no matter what you've allowed in my life, you have dealt well with me. In other words, I can trust you, God, even with the pain or even with the affliction in my life. And I want to show you more about that. So again, he's not saying everything is good in his life. He's saying everything in his life comes from God and is good because of that. God is merciful and gracious no matter his circumstances. As a result, he says, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. This psalmist is, we're up to verse number 66, and this psalmist has recognized something. The word of God and God's law, God's do's and don'ts, he's recognized something very important in this. They are valuable and they are precious. Now he says, teach me good judgment. Again, he's putting himself in the place of saying, God, I know things about you and I know a lot, but I need you to teach me and guide me. When we come to the place that we realize we cannot make the right decisions for our life without God leading us, then we've come to a very turning point in our life, in maturity. Christians, sometimes we are guilty of making decisions and then trying to pray later that God would change the consequences of those decisions. Well, this psalmist is saying, God, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. In other words, he's saying, God, I know that you have the right answers. And I want to challenge you today to make sure you stop and think about this. What decisions are you making? You know, in the middle of a crisis, it is important to make good judgment decisions. All through your life, you've got to make good decisions. You know, I've spoken to people this week, and some of the decisions they've made are not good decisions, and they're sometimes looking for counseling for that. We can't undo the consequences of that, but we can make better decisions from this point forward, good decisions about where we are. Now, when you're praying, it's not just about praying. We should not always pray that God fix something that we have gotten ourselves into or fix something that our world, but we should be praying for God to give us discernment to make good decisions. This week, would you practice praying about your decisions? I mean, praying regularly, daily, and consistently. Trust God to lead you. But now as you pray, understand this, God's answers are in his word. God's not going to contradict his word. If God has told you, let me just give a far-fetched, or let me just bring it this way. When God says, thou shalt not lie or bear false witness, in other words, it's against God's law for us to lie. Well, that's God's law. We don't really have to pray about that. We just need to pray that God would show us sometimes where that's happening in our life and where we're not being fully honest with things. There's so many different things about this. You know, good judgment. I'll give you another example. I have been really impressed and pleased seeing our church, you know, looking for, calling me sometimes and asking, hey, how do I send my tithes now that we're not able to meet together? And I'll do another post later that kind of walks through that. I've given out a lot of information about it, but I'm impressed and happy to see Christians wanting to do their Christian responsibility of giving their tithes, not to the church only, but giving that to God. You know, God has taught us to tithe. Good judgment starts with obeying God and saying, look, I know what your law says. Help me to make that good decision. But it's also in loving people. You know, we're going to see how that we can love people and accept people, make good judgments. So let me move on for this, or I'll get hung up on it for a while. Verse number 67 brings us to a real heart of this section. Remember, there's 8 verses in each section that we're going each week. And this one is key. Remember, it started off and the psalmist said that you, God, you have dealt well with me according to your word. Now notice what he says in verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Let's stop right there. This man's letting us know he had been afflicted in his life. In other words, this word affliction means that there has been some type of suffering, some type of pain, discomfort, something severe has happened in his life that's changed things. And notice what he started off saying, God, you have dealt well with me. Now he's saying, God, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. And here what this person's telling us is, before you allowed this affliction in my life, I had went astray from you. But now after this affliction, I'm keeping thy word. I'm obeying your commandments. That is so big. You know, I've shared with my church family so many times my own testimony, but I don't get tired of sharing that testimony. This verse fits a lot of my testimony. I could adopt this as a life verse for me. And it's not a one-time thing in our life that we go away from God or we get complacent with God. And that's probably not the best word to use. That we become unfaithful and undedicated and committed. But God lets things in our life that changes that. I truly believe that the crisis our world is facing is to awaken the church, to get our attention, to say, for God saying, hey, I want you to be active about the ministry and I want you to pray. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have prayed more since this has started, more faithfully, or at least you've had some prayers since this whole crisis has started that's different than the prayers you had a week or two before it? You know, when we find ourselves in need of God, we don't have the answers. You know, we have, as Americans, it's easy for us to think we've always going to have the answers, that our technology, our professionals, our world is always going to figure it out. But right now we're facing a crisis that our world cannot figure out. And the wealthiest people aren't exempt from it. Our smartest people can't figure it out yet. I believe God will give an answer, but it's going to be God's answer. And he might use these people to do that. But we have realized we have to pray. We can't depend on technology. We're realizing things as Christians that you may go to the grocery store and you're finding it harder and harder to find water and different things. I've talked about this before. The reason I mention it is we've taken for granted the ability to just have food every day and every week. But we're starting to see that we're going to struggle with that a little bit. Now, that makes us do what? It makes us pray. And through this time of affliction, we're starting to turn our hearts back to God. One of my fears, and I want to say this, and I hope that no one takes it the wrong way. One of my fears is that God would let this crisis end too soon. And what I mean by that is, if it goes away too soon before we learn our lesson, then the condition we were in of being unfaithful and less dedicated, less determined to really, not just talking about being in church, but praying regularly, building a relationship with God, studying the Bible, and ministering, evangelizing the world we're in. If all this stops too easy, we'll just say, well, you know, just a short-term scare and everything's okay and everything will always be okay. It could make us a little harder instead of softer and humbler. And my prayer is that God will cure this. I would love to see him cure it this week. But God is doing something more. He's curing, he's fixing something in the hearts of Christians. Now, let me share a little bit of my testimony. You know, when I was younger, well, let me start with, I grew up in church. I was saved at a very young age. I went to a Christian school. I had Christian friends. I knew right from wrong. But just like so many people, and I graduated, even before graduation, I was in church. I was glad to be a Christian, but I wasn't the kind of person that really spent a lot of time reading my Bible. And I wasn't the kind of Christian that witnessed a whole lot. I really, even though I knew what salvation was, I didn't know how to talk to people about that and explain it. Matter of fact, one of my biggest failures that showed that to me was one time when we were in a conversation and they mentioned that they believed God, and they mentioned a way of that they were a Christian because of that. And I had said, you know, that's not how you get saved. And when they asked me back, how is it that you get saved? I didn't have a good way of answering that for them. You know, just what I knew about God and what I knew about salvation was in my mind, but I didn't really know how to articulate that and share it. And it threw me and it bothered me. Well, you know, just like so many people, as I said, I graduated, I got out of church. I never become like a kind of person who said I'm not a Christian. I just wasn't faithful and committed. And my life went in a major spiral. I was so miserable. I mean, whatever I was doing, and I still was not a person that ever started drinking, but I was around it. I was around all the non-Christian people. I wasn't around the right influences. And that was my group. That was the life I was living, and I was not faithful in church, but people prayed for me. And God just let my life spiral out of control in a way that I lost a lot of stuff. And I used to say I lost everything, but I realized that's just not a true statement, because I moved out of the apartment I had. I lost the motorcycle that I had. Financially, I was bankrupt, but God gave me a roof to over my head and food on my table. And that's through my parents, that He used them to help me. But one of the things I knew is when I went back into that home that I would have to be going to church. And I knew I needed that. The affliction that came in my life, the problem, the crisis that came in my life turned me back to serving God. And I'm a pastor now really because of that trouble that came in my life, because that was the starting point that got me serious about serving God again and got me faithful. And when my faith had been tested to get out of church after that time period, I looked at my life and I knew what God had done to me when I was out before, how He broke me down. And so like the psalmist, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. I want you to think about the crisis that you're facing. Again, doesn't have to be the coronavirus. It is part of what's going to affect you. But as it affects your home, I've already talked to people that said, you know what, I realize I should have been a better Christian already. We should have been calling our church members. I should have been praying for people differently. Should have been teaching my kids differently. You know, now parents are in the position to have to teach their children the Bible. Christians should do that automatically. Children should learn at church, but they should also learn at home. And parents are now in the place that, hey, the church is not here to teach you directly. So you're responsible for teaching your children about God. I wonder today how many of you watching this are going to make sure that your children watch a sermon, and that you meet together as a family and pray, and that you take the personal responsibility to making sure your family's spiritually protected is a good way to say it. Husbands, protecting your wives. Wives, praying for and helping your husbands to grow spiritually. You know, we're realizing we cannot check off the list of going to church and think that that covers us spiritually. So it's a crisis, but it can change us for the better. This psalmist said, God, you've dealt well with me. And he was talking about suffering that came in his life, because he says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. He says, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. He's saying, God, you're good because you have broke me down and use that to build me back up. And that's what he's saying now. Teach me your statutes. The statutes is another word for God's law. And, you know, the things God says for us to do. So many times I talk to Christians that have gone through something, they'll come to the place, look, I was not serving God the way I was supposed to. I was going through the motions, but God broke me down. Those are the people that really appreciate the law of God. And they no longer think that when a preacher is preaching the Bible that it's just his opinions. They recognize this is the law of God and it's valuable to me because it's what I need in my life. He said, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. The psalmist here is saying, you know what, God? They've lied against me. That's hurt. He says, but I didn't let that affect my integrity with you. I continue to be a Christian. Don't let this world, don't let any crisis you face, don't let anything people say about you affect your integrity or your Christian character. Don't change. Let me give you an example. I have heard Christians say this, and I don't want to say it breaks my heart, but it does break my heart. It disappoints greatly. I've heard people say, well, you know, that person makes me so mad, I just cuss, that person makes me so mad, I just do, and they do things in retaliation. But you know, God says that He is the person that retaliates on our behalf, that vengeance is His. Also, Jesus, when people persecuted Him, He never said, well, that made me so bad, I cussed, or that made me so mad that I got even with them. Our Christian character is the life of Jesus Christ, the character of Jesus Christ living out in us. Do not let anything that's happening in your life change who you are as a Christian or affect your Christian testimony. Now, I know we all get mad. We all do things, but there should be no excuse for that behavior. We should repent of that. And I mean, you know, when that happens, we could recognize, wow, that got the best of me. And then ask God for forgiveness. But you know, a lot of times God's telling us, you know, in order for real forgiveness to be sincere, is we go and ask people to forgive us. Hey, I said something I shouldn't have said. You know, that was wrong. We don't justify it by saying I did it because I was angry, or I did it because I just felt like I needed to. As Christians, being serious about it, this person comes into place. He says, God, I'll keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Verse number 70 says, their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. I love that statement because we just don't talk that way. And what he's saying is, God, they are stubborn against the things of God, but I delight in thy law. You know, most of us do not delight. When I was growing up, I gave you the example. I didn't delight in the law of God. I didn't delight in going to church. Now, there is an anticipation. It's not the excitement of it all. It's that I know what God's done in my life, and that's why I want to be in His church. That's why I want to share His message. Well, you know, one reason that I preach the Word of God, one of the reasons I'm a Bible teacher, it's because I saw the need for it in my life, and I saw the benefits. I saw what God did for me. And one, I want others, I want you to have that. But I also love God so much for what He's done that I want to share it with other people. He changed my life, and He can change yours too. Verse number 71 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. When the Bible says, thank God for everything, in all things, give thanks. The psalmist started and he opened up and he said, God, you dealt well with me. And I said that we might would mistake that to mean that everything's going good in his life. But we look as we've unfolded this and we open it up, what we are seeing is the psalmist is saying something very different. God, you've allowed trouble in my life. You've allowed pain in my life so that you would make me what I'm supposed to be, or you would change me and mold me in the way that I'm supposed to be. I guess he's saying, God, you've helped me become faithful and to love you more. One of my prayers is that through the crisis our world is facing, by not being able to have church, we will appreciate, love, and be dedicated to church all the more. And not only that, that we'll love God's Word. Don't let this be all of God's Word you get this week. Open your Bible. Read it. Read it and ask God to help you understand it. You don't have to get on your knees, but bow your head and pray. Spend time personally developing your own walk with God. Let me ask you a question. If we never are able to meet again, if you never have the opportunity for me to teach you the Word of God, are you ready to grow on your own? Parents, are you ready to be the spiritual leaders of your children no matter how old they are? Are you ready to help your husband and your wife, your mom and your dad grow spiritually? He said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. God's called us to be Christians, not people that just walk into a church. I want you to be and practice your Christianity. The last verse, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Here, the psalmist is saying, God, no one could buy my Christianity from me. No one could buy the fact that I obey your word, your law. Some people have sold out their faithfulness for money. And I realize some people have to work on Sundays. And that's not what I'm getting to. I'm getting to the part because, again, faithfulness goes far beyond Sundays. Faithfulness is what we do every day of our life. And many people have traded their faithfulness and commitment to God sometimes for money or wealth or other things. The psalmist is not just focusing on money. What he's saying is, God, your word is the most valuable thing that I could have in this world. Are you at the place where the word of God is that valuable? This whole situation where we're not able to have church, let me ask you a couple of questions. One, is it disappointing to you at all? To some people, they may be really excited, like, wow, I don't have to go to church. I can just stay home and watch it online, and that's even better. I hope that you miss church. If you do miss it, do you miss it for the right reasons? Do you miss it because of the teaching, because of the fellowship, because of the church family that God's placed you in, and the opportunity to worship Him together with other people? You know, do you miss it for the right reasons? Is the Word of God the most valuable, precious thing in your life? It may not be, but I pray that it will be. Sometimes, the more God takes away from us, the more valuable He becomes to us. Let's learn our lessons and make the change. Let's become what we're supposed to be as Christians and dedicate ourselves to Him. Let's learn our lessons today. I want to ask you something. What has this pandemic changed, how has this pandemic changed your relationship with God? It may not be the pandemic itself, but whatever you're facing in your life, I talked to people and heard from people this week, some on our prayer list that are sick, going through physical sickness. It's not related to this pandemic. How has that changed your relationship with God? Does it draw you closer? Does it help you to recognize that life is short, that now's the time to serve and worship God? Put Him first in your life. Again, this pandemic is one way that our relationship with God should make us better and make us stronger. I am convinced of a couple of things, and I've mentioned it before. Let me say it again. The situation our churches are facing because of our country, where we're not able to meet, will do one of two things. It will make us stronger Christians, where we step up, become the spiritual leaders in our own homes, take responsibility for our own spiritual growth, and make us value the worship, corporate worship, the teaching, and the preaching of God's word even more. Or it will do the opposite. It will make people think, I don't really need church, and I can just watch something online and just kind of move on. It will do one of two things. It'll make you stronger, or it may reveal that there's not a serious dedication in your life for God, His Word, and His church. But I hope this lesson helps us all come to a place where we really, truly begin to worship God and serve Him. I want to thank you for those of you that are supporting our ministry here at Shining Light Baptist Church so that we can continue to broadcast this type of message out and teach the Word of God as we're learning Psalms 119. I hope that you see this psalmist is experiencing something very familiar to what you're going through. May God bless you. Until we can come together again, my prayers are for you, or with you, and I'm praying for you regularly. If you need anything, please reach out to us at Shining Light Baptist Church if we can help you in any way. Church members, church family, continue to call each other, continue to check on each other, but most of all, continue to pray for one another. Look a little bit later. We'll be hopefully posting some more videos and some information for our church as well. And we'll be giving out some phone calls later as well. Thank you and God bless.